In 29 days, America elects its next president, but even more hangs in the balance. Here in Michigan, voters will determine 14 U.S. representatives who will serve in the Congress and more than 100 members of the State House of Representatives. There are also two positions on the State Supreme Court, six members of the Michigan Court of Appeals, university boards, and more. We've invited back two Michigan journalists, one from each side of the political spectrum here, to share their thoughts on some of the contests most important to mid-Michigan. Together, they comprise the Two Chicks Speakers Bureau. Susan Demas is the editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. Welcome back, Susan.
Hi, Mark.
And by phone from Saginaw, Kathy Hoekstra, who writes for Watchdog.org. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's great to have you back. Before we get to the main reason you're here, let's get your thoughts on last night's presidential debate. Was there a winner? And if so, why? Susan, we'll start with you.
Well, it was a debate unlike anything I have ever seen. And, you know, I've been covering politics for a dozen years now. I think that if I had to score the debate, I would tend to agree with the respondents of the CNN poll that Hillary Clinton did win. I think that Trump decided to go very personal, starting with that press conference they held before. He was on the attack. I think maybe he assured some of the wavering Republicans. I just don't see how he made the sale to undecideds.
Kathy Hoekstra, what about you?
You know, I agree with you. I agree with Susan. I do think that if people thought Donald Trump and his campaign were already one foot in the grave, I don't think he put the other foot in there last night. I do think Hillary Clinton came out the winner, but like Susan said, she was definitely on the on the defense. And I think getting all that video Billy Bush stuff out of the way in the first whatever 20 or 30 minutes of the debate was a good thing. I think it was good to see a few things get brought up: healthcare, tax policy, some foreign policy. But I think what happens with Trump, and this is maybe just me, is he engages so much, and it's just a stylistic thing. He engages so much in hyperbole. You know, nobody has more respect for women than I do. I mean, when you get there, it's like that just negates all the things you just said, you know, that actually, you know, it negates your apology. It negates all the things that might actually get you some of those points with the undecideds, like Susan mentioned. So I agree with Susan on this one, and I'll be really interested to see debate three and how they wrap things up.
I hesitate to subject our listeners to still more audio from the debate. We will move on to more of a Michigan focus, but let's listen to Anderson Cooper trying to get an answer from Donald Trump on the groping comments. Here he is.
Are you saying that what you said on that bus 11 years ago, that you did not actually kiss women without consent or grope women without consent?
I have great respect for women. Nobody has more respect for women than I do.
So for the record, you're saying you've never did that?
I said things that, frankly, you hear these things, I said, and I was embarrassed by it, but I have tremendous respect for women.
Have you ever done those things?
Women have respect for me, and I will tell you, no, I have not, and I will tell you that I'm going to make our country safe.
So he denied doing it, and it was kind of wrapped in this meandering style, kind of elusive style that he has. What will the final result be of this Access Hollywood bombshell, Susan?
Well, I think that the fact that this tape came out, there seemed to be more tapes that potentially could come out, which could reinforce. And his little stunt with women who have accused former President Clinton of sexual misconduct, I think all of that has traditionally not helped Republicans with independent women, even with Republican women. I think there's a real risk in going down this road. And nobody thinks Trump is a Boy Scout. Everybody thinks he said more things about women, maybe other groups. I'm not sure we've heard the last of any of this.
And anything to add to that, Kathy?
Well, I agree. We haven't heard the last of it. I do think it's a little bit telling that Billy Bush has been suspended from his job on the Today Show on NBC for a while. So I think, you know, there's a little bit of, Billy Bush is taking his share of criticism, too, for really sort of baiting Donald Trump back during that interview. So I don't think the discussion on that end is over either. There's going to be a whole another whole discussion on media and ethics and things like that. As far as bringing up the Clinton women prior to the debate, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think it's a few months too late, and it looks too knee-jerk reaction to the Billy Bush stuff. I think there are stories that, you know, as the women said, one of them said after the debate, you know what, our voices had been stomped on for so long. This was a chance for us to have a voice. I think the voice, I think it all should have happened much, much earlier in the campaign. Yeah, again, this is not the end of all of this. I agree with that.
Let's begin to move the focus back here to Michigan. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly says he is rescinding his support for Donald Trump and will write in Mike Pence as a potential gubernatorial candidate. What impact will his change of heart have? What could it have, Susan?
Well, it seems like the lieutenant governor was trying to have it both ways last night, because he put out a statement that he thought that Trump did very well and won the debate, even though he just rescinded his endorsement. So he very well might have gotten some pushback from Republican donors, from the Republican base. Already, he was in kind of a precarious position to run for governor. Nobody thinks that he can successfully take on Attorney General Bill Schuette in a primary. Muddying the issue with the presidential nominee, I think, is not helpful. And he seems to be floundering to find his voice. Unlike his boss, Rick Snyder, who has been anti-Trump from the beginning, Kelly endorsed him fairly early on after it became clear that he was the front runner. And I think he is struggling to see what to do.
Kathy, what do you make of the Kelly removal of his support for Trump?
Yeah, I agree with Susan. I do think it's, I think he's doing what he thinks is going to be popular, obviously. If he's running for governor in 2018, he's going to want to look like he did the right thing back in 2016. Trump's remarks, all of this has really, really put any Republican running for governor in Michigan in a tough spot. Bill Schuette just put out a statement saying, it's not clear if he's pulling any of his support. I mean, he came out in support of Trump too. But I think he's being a little more careful about it. So I think it all depends on what happens, during the next debate, what happens during the general election. We will see which one of these Kelly or Attorney General Schuette had the right approach on this. And Susan mentioned about a gubernatorial race getting muddled in with the presidential politics. And yeah, that is a very tricky. Those are tricky waters to navigate because people are looking. You know, that's going to be one. Some voters are going to look at that as a litmus test.
Let's move to Michigan's 8th Congressional District, the district covering Lansing and East Lansing here. Republican Mike Bishop pursuing a second term. The Democrats putting up newcomer Susanna Shkreli. What do you see when you look at this race, Susan?
This was initially a targeted race for Democrats, and if you ask them, it still is, although it's certainly fallen down the ladder since their original candidate, their nominee, Melissa Gilbert, the actress, has dropped out due to health reasons. What I find interesting, this is a very diverse seat. I mean, you've got the Lansing portion, then you've got northern Oakland and Livingston counties, so much more conservative areas. This is unhospitable territory for Democrats, very difficult to win. And Susanna Shkreli is starting way late in the game. But last night, I did see in the run-up to the presidential debate, Mike Bishop putting out a commercial where he touts himself as a champion of kids. It was nicely done, but the one missing element was you did not know he was a Republican. So that says to me that there are some danger signs out there.
He never uses the word Republican in the ad.
Never calls
himself
a Republican.
I think I saw the ad that you're talking about, but I hadn't noticed that detail.
So perhaps they're just hedging their bets against an anti-Trump tide. But in a seat that seemed extremely safe, that's interesting to me.
Kathy?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the Democrats would probably have a little bit better of a shot had their current candidate been in a lot earlier. I mean, Melissa Gilbert was just an absolute disaster of a candidate to begin with. I think that it was a good thing she dropped out. But unfortunately for the Democrats, it was too late. That's just my opinion on that race.
In the always interesting 7th District, which covers Eaton County, incumbent Republican Tim Walberg facing Democrat Gretchen Driscoll. What's going on here, Susan?
Yeah, this is a pretty wide district. Goes down to the Indiana border, suburbs of Ann Arbor, Monroe, Jackson. Tim Walberg is going for a 5th term. He's a very conservative Republican. He's faced strong challenges before. Gretchen Driscoll has matched him almost completely in fundraising, though, and there's quite the ad war going on. What Democrats are really hoping for is that she can ride an anti-Trump tide, but that's a district where Trump is doing better than in some, so I think it's still going to be a challenge.
Oh, what do you think, Kathy?
Well, I think so, too. I think, you know, incumbents like Tim Walberg, they do have the advantage of, you know what, I was here before Trump, and I have this track record. And, you know, if you can distance yourself from any of the current, Trump circus going on, I think he'll be fine.
Michigan includes one U.S. congressional district that's regarded as a toss-up, in part because the first up north is pretty evenly divided between the left and the right. This is all of the UP and the upper third of the lower peninsula. Remind our listeners about the candidates and what's going on there, Susan.
Well, this is an open seat because Congressman Dan Benashek is stepping down after 3 terms. You have Democrat Lon Johnson, who is the former Michigan Democratic Party chair. And then you have retired Lieutenant General Jack Bergman, a newcomer to the scene who was able to defeat 2 very well-known politicians in the primary. So it's a very interesting dynamic because this is Trump country up there, but Lon Johnson is very strongly Second Amendment. He got the Detroit News endorsement. And a lot of people think that if Democrats can win anywhere, it's got to be in the first.
Kathy Hoekstra, in the first district, what do you see?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I actually spent part of my world living in the first district as well. And it's, you know, you look at the people who have served in that district and who have come along. I mean, you know, Bart Stupak, then you had Congressman Benashek, and now you have, like Susan said, I mean, faces we have not seen in Congress before. Again, it is a toss-up, and I spent some time, as a matter of fact, I spent the entire Saturday in East Lansing with some friends of mine from up in Gaylord, and even among them, very, very mixed opinions on both of these candidates. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine at this point.
We've got arguably the closest watched race in the Lansing area in the state house is probably the 71st district. There's the repeat of a battle between Republican Tom Barrett and a Democrat who repped the district previously, Teresa Abbott. The race between these 2 years ago was decided by 100-some votes. What do you see happening in the 71st, Susan?
We're already seeing tons of commercials. This could be the top money race as far as the state house goes in the entire state of Michigan. This is a race that Democrats should win on paper because Democratic turnout should be higher. Trump does not do well in the Lansing suburbs. But Tom Barrett is an excellent candidate. He knows how to hit the doors. He has appeal to independent women. And this one is going to potentially be a real nail biter.
So, Kathy, anything to add there?
Agreed with. I agree completely with Susan on that one. You know, Tom has been knocking on doors relentlessly. He has a good personal story. And, you know, he's in the National Guard. He has, you know, served, you know, with his military background. He has a young family. And in terms of his legislative activities, he has done some he's been able to cross the aisle and sponsor some very good legislation, including and especially one that makes it tough or makes it a lot easier for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault and things like that easier to break from a telephone contract, which is, you know, if we're going to have this heightened discussion about sexual assault and all these other things, I mean, this is something he can kind of hang his hat on and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what letter you have after your name. This is good policy, and we want to keep victims of domestic violence and in dangerous relationships. We want to keep Michiganders safe. So, I mean, he's got a few other pieces of legislation that he's gotten through the legislature just in his short time as a state representative.
We're down to less than 30 seconds. I do want to ask you one question about the outcome in the Michigan House. Democrats are hoping to at least narrow the margin in the House, and there are some hoping to tip the balance back in the D column. Briefly, Susan, how likely is that?
I think they can narrow the gap. Winning 9 seats, I would put them at about a 1 in 4 chance.
Kathy?
I would say a little bit. I would say more like 1 in 9 or 10. I think, depending on if the Republicans have been able to distance themselves from any Trump negativity, they'll do well.
We want to thank our guest. Susan Demas is editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter by phone from her home in Saginaw. Kathy Hoekstra, who writes for Watchdog.org, and together they comprise the Two Chicks Speakers Bureau. Susan and Kathy, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.